if you are dating online, is there like a certain things they can say in the message or when you first meet them? Do you know?
I guess it depends. Usually I like to have some extended conversation before we even meet. You can't really see that much in a photograph. I'm also attracted to a wide variety of looks. So Age is never really going to be an issue. Looks are not going to be an issue. It's really about how we communicate and sort of like what's there to say and like what's there to say between each other. And like, is that sexy? And then there's ways to sort of like have a relationship. Like for me, I'm very involved in BDSM. So there's relationships that I have that are pain only, that are not sexual.
Okay.
That are very close and intimate, but they don't cross a certain boundary. And that I appreciate too. So that kind of leaves me open to be sexually intimate with people. And I think like my sexual intimacy with people is that's really limited because it's like, okay, that's a rare connection that I'm not going to have with a ton of people. Right. And so I save that for something really special.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm joined by comedian Margaret Cho to talk about sexuality, BDSM, and the funnier sides of it all. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include how sexuality is truly a spectrum, and you may have moments of feeling everywhere from aromantic to bisexual, a BDSM breakdown, and why pain can be pleasurable. So your partner developed a smoking habit and it's a huge turnoff for you. What's the next step? And your partner won't say they love you and you're starting to feel weary about the relationship. All this and more. Thanks for listening. There are plenty of things we'd like to move faster. Traffic, the line at Starbucks, the wait time between seasons of Mrs. Maisel. I love that show. But I'm pretty sure none of us would mind if sex lasted just a little longer. Well, trust me, you guys, because the orgasm gap is real, and most couples would love to slow time down when things are getting good. Well, this is where my friends at Promescent can help. Well, they actually can't slow down time yet, but they can help close that orgasm gap. Promescent is an over-the-counter topical treatment that enhances men's ability to last longer. No pills, no prescriptions, and no questionable claims. Developed by urologists, Promescent isn't your typical delay spray. It's absorbed into the skin instead of staying on the surface. So instead of numbing everything, it leaves you with plenty of sensation. Enhancing your experience is easy. Just apply to the underside of the penis before sex. It's FDA compliant and clinically proven to help men last up to 64% longer. That's a long time. Oh yeah, and Promescent has also been working hard on providing you with other great resources and options. So just check out their site to see what they've been up to. You guys, tame that orgasm gap and enhance the time with your partner. Try Promescent for yourself. Go to sexwithemily.com/enhance. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/ENHANCE today.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. Just check it out. You're going to love our posts and all the blogs on there to help you have better sex and relationships, and the social media is Sex with Emily across the board. Intentions with Emily. For each show, join me by setting an intention. What I mean is, right now, you decided to listen to this episode. What would you like to get out of it? How could it help you? It could be, yeah, Emily, I've wondered about BDSM relationships. How do they work? Or I'm just curious about how the sexual spectrum looks to others and I'm trying to sort out my own sexuality. My intention is to give you more, a little bit more knowledge on alternative relationships and kinks so you don't have to put yourself into one sexual box. You might fit into a few. All right, enjoy the show. I'm excited to welcome my guest, Margaret Cho.
Hey.
Hi, Margaret. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah.
You are here to talk about you've got a lot going on. Mm. You're fresh off the Bloat comedy tour.
Yes.
That's very exciting.
Yes.
your Margaret Cho, your podcast, The Margaret Cho.
Yes.
And you were here one day and your dog ran out, your cute little dog.
She's right here.
And we met. And then I was like, oh, that's Margaret Cho. And it was so sweet because I actually have been a fan of yours for years.
Aww.
I was, I lived in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
from in the early 90s to about 5 years ago. And so I went to the Castro and saw screenings of your films. And I've just been a fan forever.
Oh,
and
that's
so
awesome.
I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining. Yes.
Thank you. You're truly
a pioneer.
Oh. Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
I feel like it. Yeah. I was like, oh, Margaret Cho, yes. I'm excited to see you. So tell me about your show. Like, tell me what we could see on the Bloat Tour.
Fresh off the bloat is amazing. Thank you. It's fun. There's lots of things because, like, being Korean is, like, really trendy.
You were the first.
I brought it, like, 30 years ago. And I'm actually doing it for a while, 51 years. Korean for 51 years. And so it's like just kind of talking about that and talking about like how familiar all of this sort of thing feels of like seeing Parasite and seeing like all the stuff going on around it. It's very exciting. So some stuff about that. I'll do a little music on Thursday. I'm writing songs again, which is really great. And that's Largo. I'll do Largo on Thursday, which I have a monthly there, which is so fun. And lots of stuff about sexuality and lots of stuff about being, you know, 51 and being sexual and kind of trying to figure that out. Like, this is the first time I've been single in the age of apps.
Oh.
Which is very trippy.
Okay, how is that going?
It's going good, but I set my age range too high. So I go out with people from 23 to 71. And so I have to go on like 7 dates a day to try to keep the backlog. Like, my arm hurts from swiping. Yeah, like, there's a lot.
That's a lot, but at least you're keeping your options way open.
It's like super open. I mean, there's something to learn from everybody. And also, like, I am bisexual, so I love men and women. And there's a lot there too. So it's different. It takes a lot for me to want to be sexual with somebody though. So it takes like quite a lot of like discussion and negotiation, and I don't mind that, but some of the younger people do. Like, they don't want to talk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, they don't want to talk about it. They just want to see if there's an attraction, but you got to lay it, especially being bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you lay that out? How do you say, like, how has that worked for you? Because I know you've been an advocate for so many years for LGBTQ, and like, have you been in and out of all different kinds of relationships, committed with men and for women?
Yeah. And now I think like my idea is that I'd like to remain single for the rest of my life because I've been in relationship enough.
Yeah.
And I don't want to define as having a partner. But there's got to be ways of companionship that are meaningful. And I think like, and now everybody's so invested in, they all just want to smash.
Yeah.
And they want pictures. And I'm like,
I know. I don't know. I hate the pictures.
I'm like,
I'm not sending pictures.
Yeah. It's hard to send pictures because, I mean, they all want the dick pics. I mean, dicks are a thing and pussy is a place. So it's really hard to photograph because first you have to do landscape mode. And then it's like hard to light. Like, it's like so many things. Like, and it's just, I'm not down with taking photos. It takes too long.
Yeah. You don't have to, exactly. But I guess what people do today is they already have their arsenal of photos. So if someone asks for a photo, you just send it. And you have it ready to go. But what I've also learned is you can check the date stamp. So you take a screenshot of it. So they assume you're just sending it. I've learned that from people on my team. So I mean, if you choose to send photos, but I think you just send what makes you, if you want to, whatever makes you feel sexy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you can, it's like carbon date the photo, I guess you could tell. But it's sort of like, I also think that. It's like when you're just sending like disembodied genitalia. It's like, what is going on?
It's not, I don't want to see a dick in the wild. Like, I don't know.
Nobody
this dick.
Cares.
I want to know that we have an attraction. We have like a mental capacity where we're like into each other. I don't just want to see that. So that's not what I need. But how do you know then when you're attracted to someone? Like, what is it? Like, if you are dating online, is there like a certain things they can say in the message or when you first meet them? Do you know?
I guess it depends. Usually I like to have some extended conversation before we even meet. You can't really see that much in a photograph. I'm also attracted to a wide variety of looks. So age is never really going to be an issue. Looks are not going to be an issue. It's really about how we communicate and sort of like what's there to say and like what's there to say between each other and like, is that sexy? And then there's ways to sort of like have a relationship. Like for me,
I'm very involved in BDSM. So there's relationships that I have that are pain only, that are not sexual.
Okay.
That are very close and intimate, but they don't cross a certain boundary. And that I appreciate too. So that kind of leaves me open to be sexually intimate with people. And I think like my sexual intimacy with people is that's really limited because it's like, okay, that's a rare connection that I'm not going to have with a ton of people. Right. And so I save that for something really special. But I think dating is really about finding out who you like hanging out with. And that's not always going to include sex at the end. It's not always going to include a restaurant right. or some movie or whatever. It can be just sitting and talking, which exactly. I think is the best.
That is the best. Someone that you want to sit and that you're having a good conversation with. Do you ever like, so I did see you in the Sex Explained episode talking about BDSM. Are you, what part of it are you into? Are you dominant, submissive?
I am a lifetime submissive and I'm learning now to be more dominant. I do take... I have higher education where I do a lot of like shibari. So I'm doing Japanese rope bondage and I'm trying to learn how to be very good at that. But there's more to it than just knots. Yes. It's like a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like for me, like that element of like sort of being a dominant has been very challenging. So, you know, I'm like trying to learn how to do that better. But at the same time, I have a few relationships with the one woman in particular, she's a lot younger than me, so it's like super weird because when we're out, everybody's like, is that your daughter?
Right, that's fun.
It's like, you guys look exactly alike. Who's the mom? Oh, who's God. The daughter? It's like the Judds. And it's weird. It's weird.
Oh my God, right. I get it. You're just people.
It's LA. Funny.
That is funny.
And then I'm with another woman who's a little bit, she's my age, but she's definitely different. And so it's like, you find the people that are like, it's so unexpected that the universes people have within, you know, and it could take any package. So you don't really know exactly who they're going to be. So I like to really spend time and talk to the person.
How do you, are these people that you've met on the apps? You met them through friends?
The ones that I, the BDSM relationship I had, I've had referrals through other lifestyle BDSM players.
Okay.
Also, I've met people through events, all through LA and San Francisco and New York. And that kind of part of it has something to do with being around the lifestyle for my entire adult life.
You have.
San Francisco especially.
Yes. That was a good time. I didn't really get into all that maybe I dabbled until I moved here. But it was such a great place to...
Yeah.
Great place to grow up and be kinky.
So
like
much.
Like Folsom Street Fair and all the things. Like we were definitely ahead of it. But now being bisexual, because I think it's so interesting. Like, I don't think that we have many people that I have friends, but not on the show to talk about like... So when you're because there's some people who say that bisexuality, like pick one or they say men can't be bisexual. But in your case, you're really thinking about the person. It's like being like, am I attracted to this human or sapiosexual? Is it their brain that turns me on?
Yeah.
But do you ever have moments where you're like you're with a woman, but you're like, I kind of would need the masculine energy right now. Like, are you looking for, it sounds like you have a lot of different people in your life now to fill all the different spaces.
Yeah, it's weird though, because like gender seems to recess a little bit because I can see sort of the elements that create a person that don't really like even include gender, you know, that are sort of like more about what's in your heart and even how that presents, if that presents more masculine or more feminine. And it is that sort of that old sort of thing of like, I am attracted to the person, but that's not exactly it either, because there's so much about gender that informs our personalities and our nature. So it's more that I seek something very special that is hard to define, that doesn't necessarily have to do with how we identify as a gender.
Yeah. No, I understand that. It is more about energy.
Mm-hmm.
Masculine, feminine, who's leading, who's following, who's holding space.
Mm-hmm.
The way, you know, the feminine brings the sexual energy to the relationship.
Yes.
Oftentimes. So right now you're with two women.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you are able to, like as you've gotten, like you've gone through a lot sexually, that you're able to ask for what you want?
Yes, yes.
Right away? Do you even lay it out right away?
Well, no, I kind of let it sort of slowly build. Well, with the BDSM relationships, it's very simple because you have to negotiate that. You have to talk about it and like really get very detailed, which I appreciate. And it's sexy too.
It is.
which I love. And then the heterosexual relationship that I have, it is definitely like a plan of sort of like discovery and just talking. And it's really, I think it's really fun. Like it's really, to me, that discovery is just as sexy as the sex itself. So, you know, everything about this is lovemaking. It's not that you have to like, say like this, I like that. It's like, well, the explanation of the things that you enjoy say a lot about you. And I think that to be able to share that is incredibly erotic, but also really intimate and really beautiful. And when you can be that vulnerable, you become very strong.
Okay, so how did you become, like, I know you grew up with strict parents mm-hmm. in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. How did you become more sexually open? Was that something that you were on your, you discovered on your own? What was your journey?
Well, my parents were strict, but they were also, they also owned a gay bookstore. So we had people like around us that my dad was employing who were all getting pierced and tattooed.
Which one?
In the 70s.
Where was it?
Paperback Traffic. It was on Polk Street, Polk, oh, California.
Okay. Yeah.
And so there was like a lot of the young, like people were getting like modern primitives and getting piercings and getting erotic piercings. This was like in the 80s and the early 90s. So I got my belly button pierced by Raylan Galena, who was a major piercer at the time. And she pierced Susie Bright and all these, all the people.
Yeah.
So being around that, I also worked at Stormy Leather in South Market on Howard for years. And I helped them open their retail store. And I ended up going to a lot of the play parties and being around it. And to me, it was this whole world that was really springing up because of the decimation of our scene, our life, queer life in San Francisco because of AIDS. Mm-hmm. And so people were trying to find ways to be sexual, but still be as hard and go strong and queer and wild, but either not fluid bond or have an awareness about what sex could do, you know, within the age of AIDS. And so this is like a real great way to find meaning and understand ourselves more with sexuality and with BDSM and with desire. And so learning from people like Susie Bright, reading like Lily Barana, reading like all of the stuff that was being written, whether it was Carol Queen or all of like sort of the erotica and the politics that, you know, you were sort of absorbing in South of Market, 90s San Francisco mm-hmm. was really, it's really transformative.
It's funny that I just got a little chills because I moved to San Francisco. My first job was working for Carol Migdon, who was on the board of supervisors, mm-hmm. and then Tom Amiano and all those things. I want you to explain to you about BDSM, if you could kind of like break down what that looks like for you.
Well, I want to feel like I am being taken to like the limit of something, that I'm being encouraged to experiencing something to the point of like not no return, but that I can take all that I can take. So I want all of the sensation that I can take, and it can take a lot of forms. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's dominating me. It means that they're just going to curate my experience so there's a lot of sensation. And you could weigh that with saying, well, they're like my master, but that's not really where I go to, because I'm more of a masochist, and it's a little different. So I like the intensity of sensation. I like pain that's sexualized. It's not necessarily about humiliation, although lots of people love that.
Yep.
It's more about like, I just want as much as I can take, and I want you to take me there. I want you to push me to get there. And so it's almost about like, even if you're beginning sex or whatever it is with a kind of a breath and like the top sort of coming over and sort of claims your body is theirs. That's kind of the beginning of it, where you're almost giving over to this person. It's trust. It's love, but it's also a kind of like, let's just see where this takes us. So it's about abandon, which I think is the main point of focus in BDSM, is like you would just want to feel that reckless abandon.
Yes. And so that's such a great explanation. Are you using like floggers, whips, mm-hmm. everything?
Yeah. I like a paddle. And I like Florentine floggers. I have some beautiful ones. The Florentine thing is really cool. I do like a taws, which is more like a tongue, like a devil's tongue. I like things that are very thuddy as opposed to a sharp sensation. Yeah. And I do like bastinado, which is getting your feet beat. But that's very terribly painful and very, very, very you got to be very careful.
Yeah. So are these people, that you are in, sometimes you just see them just for like a session?
Yeah, yeah. But it's mostly like just social.
Right.
You know, and then it'll become something more.
Right.
And also it's like, oh, we're going to a class and then we'll just end up doing something after. Like it's kind of just mostly built around a social life,
yeah.
But it becomes something else. And because it's not romantic, because I think there is a part of me that is asexual in certain ways.
Asexual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That I do have sort of an asexual, aromantic side that comes out sometimes in BDSM.
Oh, interesting. So you're feeling like, so you're not walking around thinking about sex or craving mm-hmm. sex, and you never have really.
Well, I do, but it's never in the BDSM context. So, and it's like, you know, definitely I'm sexual within like a sexual relationship, but if it's a relationship that's pain only, it's compartmentalized in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's not for a sort of romantic purpose. It has a different kind of a feeling.
Are you, that makes sense. Are you ever in a relationship though, where it's just kind of like, do you get off on just regular sex? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
All of it.
And that's a different aspect to what I desire. I think that that's definitely where it can get much more emotional. What's hard for me is to disassociate sex from my emotional life. And that's why it takes a long time for me to want to have sex with somebody. So I want to talk to them about it and like really get to know them. And also feel like some sense of we're in this together, you know, and that we're not just going to smash and you're going to ghost me.
But don't you feel like you got to teach them that? Especially if you're dating people 23 to wherever, but especially 20s, 30s, even 40s. People, mm-hmm. most people are not even, this is why I have a show, they're calling in every night. They've never talked about it. So
yeah.
You talking to them saying, let's talk about sex as the lead with sex must be like shocking.
Yeah, but it's hard because
but if you need to, I'm glad you're doing that. It is.
Yeah.
Life's short. Like,
yeah.
We're not going to have bad. Why should we have bad sex?
Right.
I've been there.
I've so been there. And I don't want to be in like a sexless marriage again. I don't want to
Is that where you were married?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like really sad because you can really breed discontent very quickly in what's supposed to be intimacy, what's supposed to be the ultimate, which is like marriage.
So your tour right now, Fresh Off the Boat, let's talk about that. When did that start?
I've actually been on the road with this show for a while. And
okay.
like, you know, we kind of never stop touring. So this is sort of the end part
okay.
of the cycle of this show, but it's kind of also changed a lot. So it's different things, but I do love it. I love touring and I love doing shows.
Do you love it? The tour, like, is it like
yeah.
material that you've been
working on, but then now it's sort of like getting newer, new things. Every day there's something different. So yeah, I love it.
That's good.
Yeah.
And you like being on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, can we go back to your sexless marriage for a minute?
Yes,
because
yes.
that's literally our business here. Sex
mm-hmm.
with sexless marriage.
Right.
Sexless with Emily marriage. No, people call in every night. Like, how did you, what do you think happened? Like, if you had to go back in time.
Yeah.
What happened and how would you change it?
Well, we just grew apart. And also we both had really bad, difficult substance abuse issues that actually just became the point of our lives. Like we both decided to sort of go off with our own like drug addictions. And it was just like this really sad thing where we just grew apart.
Mm.
And, you know, and then there was that thing of like, well, we got married, so we're just to stay together. And this is dead hull of the relationship. You know, it's really sad.
Yeah.
And I think like, for us, it wasn't about reconciliation because we had done too much in terms of like betrayal with drugs. And I don't think that it would have been good for us to stay together. So
okay.
sometimes it's just not meant to be.
Yeah, that's true too. What were the, do you mind if I ask? So you're sober now?
Or? Yeah,
okay.
yeah. I'm sober for a while, but I everything. I mean, it's like, what didn't we do? I would do like super weird drugs too. Like weird drugs that were kind of like semi, like that's a drug.
Like
like what? Like I'm pretty amazing that I can
okay.
make a drug out of anything.
Yes.
So it's like a very destructive thing, but
yeah.
you know, I think when you also kind of are an adrenaline junkie,
yep.
it really does sort of wreak havoc on like sex life too, because then you're sort of like looking for all of the stuff that you really can't find sexually. I think for me in my 50s is about getting real quiet and finding out like exactly what I want and making my life that.
Yes, exactly. What has been your process for that, figuring out what you want?
Like, I really try to understand if I find something sexy, I want to know why. And I want to know what it is that is sexy about it. And like, what it is that element of the turn on. So it's like being a real anthropologist. If you're like, see something that's sexy in a TV thing, or like, let's go deep into it and try to figure that out. So, I mean, for me, it's definitely like, I could get into something about feet, like somebody like touches my feet, it's really sexy. And I realize it's because of like my instep and the sort of like connection that it has with the rest of my leg and then in between my legs. So it's like if you kind of look at the clitoris and you sort of say, where does it start? Where does the clitoris start? I think mine starts actually at the sole of my foot.
Yeah, it might. Reflexology, there's so many nerve endings. Then there's so many points that. That makes sense.
So I want to discover what that is. And so why is it sexy when somebody is like putting a shoe on? And then it's like, maybe it's like that Cinderella thing where it's like the shoe fits. And then maybe it's kind of a foot fetishism thing where it's like, if you are on my foot, then maybe it's like you're going to come all the way up. So maybe like my clit is on my foot. And that's all this stuff that
your
goes.
Your clit might be on your foot.
But there's
it's true.
Kind of like this princess care. Like it's like, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to elevate you above others. So there's a kind of thing that happens like when it's a loaded thing, when somebody's like touching your foot, and when you can kind of pinpoint like, well, what is that I like, and then maybe bring that into a discussion with somebody you're having sex with. And that's good.
Yeah, that is good. So you're saying like someone touched your foot and you're like, that's, let's just go back to that and be like, well, it was a light touch and this mm-hmm. is why, because that would make sense too mm-hmm. because every part of the foot, you know, there's so many different places that it, you know, it corresponds to on our body.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and then you have to find partners who are down.
Yeah. Well,
like discussing all, going on that journey with you.
Yeah. You know, but it makes their sex life better. Like it makes it better for both of you. It's like when we can really examine our sexuality and understand it and really like harness it and let's do the things that we like together. And, you know, like I'll take the things that you like and I'll run with them and you do the same with me. It's a beautiful exchange. And then you discover more about each other. It's great.
And then you might find things that you like from them too. Like you're like, oh, I didn't think I would like that. And then I would, because you're open. But I think finding those people can be challenging. So I love that's what you're open. That just is great for people to hear too, that it's okay if you are differing from your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You can find a way to make it work.
We can come together. I mean, there's like so many lies told us by porn that it has
it's
to be
lies.
Intercourse and it has to be like of mutual orgasms, which is like not real to me.
Right. Like coming together literally.
Yeah.
Who does
it's
that?
Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Do you talk about this stuff on your tour?
Mm-hmm.
On your coming tour? Talk about sex?
Yeah. I talk a lot about sex and I talk a lot about sex in different ways. I mean, for me, it's like also jokey. It's a funny thing because having a body is funny and dumb and fallible and embarrassing. And so there's a lot of like ridiculousness that comes out of that. But the truth of the body is great. And the truth of what makes us feel sexual is also really important because it's sort of the it's the cartography of what the map of our sexuality is. It's like making that map. Let's make the map and see what it looks like.
I like the idea of a map. I think that mm-hmm. especially now with dating, like online, are you writing this stuff in your profile? Like you have to be sexually open. You have to be, because
no.
I just think that's hard to find. No,
I actually probably don't even write anything.
How do you weed it out? How do you find people then? Like do you have a conversation? Do you meet them first?
No, I usually have a conversation. Sometimes like a FaceTime will
that's
be good.
That's what I've been telling people to do. They've been taking here and here when you're going on dates, like FaceTime first.
Yeah, FaceTime because you
like
don't
them.
Know like
yeah,
what they're going to look like and what you're going to like look like talking. Too bad you can't smell a FaceTime.
I know.
That's the
only
the worst
thing missing. It's
smell
the worst.
Is important.
It is important. You just, then you're like, oh, it's the one thing. And then you smell them. You're like, shit.
Yeah.
But at least it helps with FaceTime, because you can like weed them out.
You can weed them out, but it definitely is an important thing. I think that you have to be very aware of who the person is before you agree to meet them. And then, of course, always meet them in a public place. Usually the daytime is better. And something that's not like financially sort of, you feel like obligated. Don't go out to dinner or anything like that. It's like good to just do something very neutral.
What's your perfect date?
Well, like a date that's like a first date. I like to do a dog walk.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like to do a bit of a exercise. Maybe coffee. Coffee's perfect, actually.
That makes sense. You have the dog,
I
always.
I love that. Yeah, I usually have the dog. And so something that's like very like easy like that is great.
You can tell right away. Can you tell right away if you are attracted to someone? How long does it take?
I usually can tell. I usually can tell like if we meet and then I can see it. It's within seconds. But then also people will surprise you. So you can take a little more time I can either like say, oh, yeah, this is happening, or I need to investigate more.
or I don't need to do this.
Right. You can tell. I feel the same way. What is there something someone ever shows up and you're like, no, I'm out. This is like a deal breaker.
If they're mean to like the wait staff.
That's true. That is true. I think we all feel that. Like if they're mean to the wait staff, they hate everybody in their life.
Yeah. If they're like super complaining. Negative. Yeah. If they're super negative, it's like, I don't want to do this. And also if they're real mad at somebody like that, what they were partnered with before, that's kind of a weird thing too.
If they haven't resolved it yet.
Yeah.
If they're like, if you could tell like they're still angry, then they're still suffering. And well, they're not ready to be in a relationship yet. If they're still like, oh, my ex was crazy, da, 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 then they haven't done the healing yet. That is necessary.
Right. I mean, it's like, I'm sure there's like something to that. Like, it's okay to do a little bit of complaining, but it's kind of like the focus is on what we're doing right now, not what happened to you before and not what this is going to turn into.
Yeah. I feel you. Okay, Margaret Cho, thank you for being here. I got to give you the 5 questions that we ask all of our guests.
Yes.
Are you ready? Okay. Your biggest turn on.
I love awareness.
Biggest turnoff.
Cheap tips, bad tipping.
What makes good sex?
Communication.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
It's all gonna be okay.
Number one sex tip.
Just talk.
Okay, I love it. Okay, thank you, Margaret Cho. People can find you at Margaret_Cho on Instagram. We have all of this in the show notes as well at sexwithelmy.com.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break and when we come back, we're going to get into your email questions. Do you ever get sore after a hard workout or even after one of those nights where you just sleep wrong and everything hurts? Trust me, the struggle is real. Well, I found something to help with all that nonsense. Let me introduce you to the Omega Turmeric CBD capsules from Elixinol. Elixinol has been in the CBD game since the very beginning, and their proprietary blend of natural ingredients includes 15 milligrams of full-spectrum CBD per capsule. Simply put, Elixinol's potent combination of Omega Turmeric and CBD can deliver a 1-2 punch of antioxidants and natural support to help your body recover from strenuous activity. This unique combination is designed to restore balance and support optimal antioxidant activity to keep you at your best. You know my team and I are big proponents of CBD. All of us here have either tried it or using it daily for a whole range of reasons. The important thing is to make sure you know what you're buying and putting into your body. That's what's great about Elixinol. All their products are independently tested and you can see your exact product's test results by entering the batch number on their website. If you're ready to try CBD for yourself, check out Elixinol.com. That's Elixinol.com. Use code EMILY20 at checkout to save 20% on their Omega Turmeric CBD capsules today. All right, guys, I love answering your questions. If you want a question answered on the show, go to my site, sexwithemily.com, click Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or just email us, feedback@sexwithemily.com. But always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. You can change your name. We're cool with that. Thanks, guys. Okay, Jamie, you want to read?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this first one comes to us from Angelina, who's 28 in New Jersey. Hi, Dr. Emily. My husband and I have been married for almost 3 years and together for a total of 6. While we are currently in couples counseling to work on some of our other ongoing issues, I still wanted to ask you a question. During the course of our marriage, my husband acquired a smoking habit. Smoking of any kind is a huge turnoff for me. The catch is my husband was not a smoker before our marriage and even agreed with me that it was not an attractive habit. So now when the house smells like smoke, I get angry and he no longer agrees with me that this is an issue. How do I deal with this? With everything else that we're working on in marriage counseling, this is just adding to the list of problems and it's just making me more and more frustrated. Thanks for your help, XO.
Okay, Angelina, you know, I'm really glad that you guys are in counseling and I think this would be something that you could work on in counseling. So, I mean, you've been together 3 years and he just started smoking. I mean, typically we start an unhealthy habit because we're really stressed out. We try to use it as a coping mechanism, you know, and he picked up this really bad habit. Is he willing to talk about, you know, why he needs to smoke? Is there some compromise where he showers before he comes home? Or I don't know if you're saying that he's smoking in the house because that's actually secondhand smoke and terrible, or if he just smells like smoke. Because you know how smokers, Jamie, like mm-hmm. your hair smells like smoke and your clothes smell like smoke. You know, maybe he can freshen up before he comes in the house. You know, vaping. I feel like more people are vaping now than they're smoking, although vaping is apparently really bad for you. But I just feel like it's out of respect for your relationship and for himself. I feel like there's a lot of great tools now to quit smoking. There's like hypnosis works for some people. There's a great book by, I think his name is Alan Carr, C-A-R. I look it up because that's how I stopped smoking. the first time. Mm. And then what helped me was nicotine gum, although I got addicted to that and then I quit that. So anyway, I feel like it's much healthier than actually smoking. But the Alan Carr book, super helpful. And then I've heard lately, from a lot of people that hypnotism, and I thought that was kind of wacky, but hypnosis can work as well. But I do feel like this is disrespectful, but I think also being a former smoker, it's really freaking hard to quit. I know that cold turkey is the way to go for many people. Exercise, walking, getting outside, having support, like you being his coach with it and not being his, you know, enemy, but being his advocate, going to like no smoking groups and stuff. I feel like it takes a little bit of time, but I feel like this is something that he needs to do. Keep us posted, but I think it's okay to bring this up in therapy as well.
No, I would be the same way because I don't like cigarettes and I'd be like, well, I definitely would not allow it in the house. And that's just for anything. I just feel like we don't want the walls to smell like that.
No.
You know, I don't want to kiss you afterwards. My current boyfriend actually before used to dip and I was the most unattractive thing. And hasn't done it in over 2 years. And I literally was like, if you dipped, we would not be together.
It would be over. Exactly. But remember, this also isn't about you. So what he might need, Angelina, is a little bit of like compassion, even though you're so angry right now. But it's really hard to quit when someone's giving you an ultimatum. Yeah. And if you love him and you've been married, he's your guy. You have to kind of be supportive and say, babe, I know this is really hard. Here's some things that I have found that have worked. Maybe you do your own research. Maybe you buy him this book. Maybe you read it together. Because I think that couples get into this thing a lot where they're like, you fix it, it's your problem. And sometimes it's where we really need is support and empathy because quitting smoking is not easy. So as long as you can be with them and not judge them, you'll be better off at getting results.
This next one comes to us from Nick, 48 in Washington, D.C. Hi, Dr. Emily. I'm a 48-year-old guy who just finished a couple years of therapy to deal with issues related to childhood sexual abuse. While it was not the most pleasant experience, I know it worked. I'm no longer controlled by my past. Woohoo! I now feel like I want to find myself sexually. I want to figure out what I like, what I don't like. I want to find out my turn-ons, and I want to experiment with people of different sexes, races, sizes, etc. I want to experience all there is to experience sexually. The problem is, I've never done this before, and I have no idea where to even begin. Where do I find people to play with? Where do I find people who are not looking for a relationship, but would like sex? Any suggestions you have would be appreciated. Thanks for all you do.
All right, Nick. Well, congratulations on really committing to therapy, because if someone goes through sexual trauma or abuse as a child or any point in their life, therapy really is the way to go. And I'm so glad to feel that you've moved past it. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. And just know that this is the other side of it, is that I don't believe that we ever totally, like, it's done. You wash your hands of trauma or abuse. I think it's we manage the symptoms. So things might still flare up and you might still start feeling things. So I just want to just say that I hope you still, you know, keep your therapist and your close friends around and stuff like that. So I like that you're about to, you know, you want to go out and explore yourself sexually. But I think I don't want you to like overcorrect because you're feeling like I'm 48 and I missed it all these years. And I think just like with anything sexually, you got to take it slow, take it one step at a time. And I think be open communicating your needs and wants to others, because I'm going to assume if you haven't done a lot of experimenting sexually, you also don't have experience with the communication and the emotions that come up from having various partners and attachment and all these things. It's not as easy like, I'm going to sleep with this person this night and this person tomorrow night. I'm going to try it all and then I'm going to see what I like. Like you're at a buffet, right? And I'm just going to try this and this and this and then I'm going to see, oh, I really liked that, you know, the chicken the best. I just went to a massive buffet the other night that had a lot of different meats. Mm. So I don't, it's not as simple like that, because sex, you know, it's emotional and all these other things come along with you. So with that said, I just want you to be mindful and take it slow. There are, if you want to play, there are dating apps and there are places where you can look for things that aren't as serious. There's one called Hashtag Open, which has a lot of people from all walks of life and different sexual backgrounds on that app. There's also FetLife, FetLife, that has like might have play parties in your area, which means that you can meet up with people who are like-minded and kind of open for different sexual experiences. I think I'd also love to talk to you. So if you just want to call into my show Monday through Friday between 5 and 7 p.m. Pacific, You can call me at 888-947-8277 because I can definitely help you along this journey. The other thing is you're in Washington, D.C., so there might be like a great liberal sex toy store there. I've found those places to be great resources for finding like parties with like-minded people. There's also meetups. So there could be meetups for people who want to play, people who are open sexually. So I would look into that and then take your time and make sure that you're with people that you trust and have some fun. Pay attention to what you like and what you don't like. And I also recommend that you experiment with your body as well. And I hope that you have learned to have a healthy relationship with your own body and masturbation and asking for what you want. And remember, safe sex.
Yeah, he's almost like, it's reminiscent of someone that had like a really strict upbringing and then they're finally out on their own and then they just party to the max.
Exactly.
So you gotta work your way up.
Right. Go slow. And I'm not saying that you're gonna relapse or anything. I'm just saying I hope that was clear that I just mean like keep your therapist close. Like I always have my therapist. I'm in and out of therapy my whole life. I have different ones that I could see and it's just helpful.
Okay. This next one comes to us from Francesca, 25 in Michigan. Hi, Dr. Emily. I'm a big fan, love your podcast, and thank you for being here for all of us. I've been with my boyfriend a year and we live together. We do not say I love you yet, which I'm not bothered by or in a rush to hear him say. However, the other night in bed, he said, Fran, love ya. So I turned around and said, I love you too. To which he then says, he didn't mean it like that, and love ya and I love you mean different things. I just made a joke out of it and said, oh, I know you love me. And he continued to go on and make a point of how it's different. I just turned away to hide the tears in my eyes because I just felt so embarrassed and went to sleep. I'd rather him have said nothing from the start than his backhanded comment. The next day, I went to work and messaged him to say how I felt, but he wasn't willing to talk and kept saying it's not a big deal. I just feel so stupid, and I'm thinking, does he see this relationship and our future the way that I do? He's just been acting as if everything is normal. Am I being stupid and wasting my time on this man?
Okay, Francesca. I'm sorry this happened. This doesn't sound like a very pleasant experience. So what I think this has to do is it's not really about the term I love you and I love ya. And I think that we can all agree that if this happened, we would be hurt as well, especially if you're living together. It's not like you've been together 3 months and it slipped out. You are living with this person. You are sharing a bed. You're sharing the rent. I feel like he's just not comfortable with intimacy and saying things that, you know, you need to hear and discussing his emotions and his feelings. Because the fact that you tried to message him the next day and he just said it was closed down for business, I'm not talking about it. And the fact that you're going to bed with tears in your eyes and you have to turn away from him. And I understand that you're in your 20s and you're probably, maybe this is one of your first times you've been in love or the most serious relationship. It just doesn't feel great. And I'm telling you, you can be with people who will be more emotionally available to you. So I'm not going to say that you're wasting your time, but what I am going to say is that he has to want to start to look at himself and develop emotionally and look at his own issues around attachment and intimacy and expressing emotions. And that is a skill set. And for many people, we grow up that it's not healthy to express emotions and to be vulnerable and to talk about how we feel. Because I think if we really got down to it, he probably does love you. Like he cares about you and loves you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he does. Like, if he doesn't love you, who does he love? Like, yeah. He's 25 years old. You're living together. You're sharing a bed. But I think that to him, for whatever reason, that word is charged, which leads me to believe there's some underlying things to deal with. So you can let him know that you just felt very dismissed by it and see, you know, what does love feel like this? How is he going to know when he's in love? Maybe you need to hear that what he does love about you. Like maybe there's things that he loves about you if he doesn't love you. Maybe you need some more words. Perhaps your love language is words.
It seems like it might be.
So, you know, we get Jamie's a words of it. I'm words of affirmation. I need to hear words.
Constantly.
All the time. how much do you know? How great am I? How great was the sex? How smart? Whatever. We need that.
Yes.
And you might need that too. So perhaps the love languages would be a good place to start. The love language quiz. We love that. So
yeah, I don't get embarrassed easily, but I would be so mortified. Embarrassed. I'd be like, oh great. Thanks for like really drilling it into my head that you're not in love with me, even though we live together.
Like I wish you would have let that slide.
Yeah.
Like
just
he had
let
to
it slide.
Fight you in bed. Like we were both going, oh, poor Franny. We wish we could give you a hug.
Seriously.
So you're okay, girl. You are right to feel this way because I think we all would. And so I just think, and I would also give this a time limit because I think that these are the kind of things in your 20s you could go for another year. But I say in 3 months from now, if you don't start feeling more connected to him, because again, I think that the I love you conversation was a symptom of other things going on. So if you don't feel more intimacy, more connection, more support from him, then it'll be time to move on. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for listening. I love you all. so much for supporting the show and Business with Emily. Find me on SiriusXM Radio Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. It's on channel Stars 109. You can get your questions answered there. Essentially, the doctor is in. I am there for you. You can get a free 30-day trial if you'd like at sexwithemily.com/SXM. And even if you don't get it, you can still just call in at 888-947-8277. Please rate us and review us wherever you listen to the show. We so appreciate it. Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, so many, Google Play. It helps us, helps the show. Also comment on iTunes if you like it. And thank you to my awesome team, Ken and Kristen and Elisa and Brian, our interns, producer Jamie, I love you, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Anyone in a relationship should communicate more, but one of the most important things you should absolutely be talking about is using more lube in the bedroom. You know I'm all about lube. That's why I want to tell you guys about Pure Lube, because, okay, it is seriously next level. I've been obsessed with this brand for years. I'm a huge fan, which is why I'm so excited to be working with them. They have a ton of different formulas that are great for either exploring a new toy and making sure time with your partner is just that much more pleasurable. Pure's original formula lets you feel much more touch and sensation. It even works great as a massage gel, or check out their Aqua water-based lube, which is super moisturizing and gets completely absorbed into your skin, leaving you feeling so silky and smooth. It's just, you love it. You don't have to wash it off. It's not like sticky. But the best part, their products all use medical-grade ingredients and are completely hypoallergenic. So get that conversation started and bring Pure Lube into the bedroom. To try Pure for yourself, go to sexwithemily.com/pure. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/PJUR today.